You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
This is Real Presence Live, unless you wanted to say that, Brett.
No, I think that's a really good thing for you to say.
you look like there's some energy coming there. it's coming. So, yeah, Real Presence Live, Deacon Steve Splunskowski along with
Brad Gray.
And we've just had some great conversations this morning talking again. We're celebrating the Transfiguration today. Speaking the first hour with the homeless about service to the homeless. The second half hour talked about really the story of the Transfiguration, how the Lord is working in our lives. How we can get really excited when the Holy Spirit shows up and we just say things like Peter, like, doesn't know what he was talking about. Yep. But then the Lord comes back and says, listen. And then we just visited with Father Brendan Schneibel, who's been listening, right? He received the call to the priesthood, received the call to be in the military as a chaplain. And he just shared that story. And now we're going to slow down and listen some more as we talk with Andrew Meyer, who's here with us this hour. Thank you for being here. Yes.
My pleasure. Thanks Good for morning. Having me on.
Yes. Morning.
Well, I think maybe the one of the things we can talk about is, I mean, obviously all the things that you work with as a counselor, is that the right title? You're a counselor? Or?
Yeah. Official now. I had done my internship at Redeeming Grace, two floors down from here. Mm-hmm. And as of a few weeks ago, I'm a licensed associate counselor.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's gotta feel good.
It does. Yeah. Feels really good.
So that obviously as a counselor, listening is pretty important.
Really important. And that took some time to get used to. I'm a person that likes the sound of my own voice, generally speaking. I mean, I think I probably speak for a lot of us when I say that, but listening is a skill. Mm-hmm. And so often when you're in a conversation, you're already forming a response. Mm-hmm. And being able to slow down and say, no, just live in the moment, be present and hear what the other person is saying. Such an important skill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been doing some coursework with spiritual direction. It's the exact same dynamic. Mm-hmm. I've been working with Father Boniface Hicks, mm-hmm. and he talks about how in spiritual direction, you really should not be speaking more than 10% of the time. Like it's really about just listening and letting the other person tune in to how the Lord is already working in their heart.
Yeah.
And it's a somewhat different realm, but it's the same sort of dynamic, right?
Same sort of dynamic, and really... When you're listening to someone, you're actually, I mean, not only is it a work of charity, but what it is that you're actually like learning who they are, mm-hmm. right? It's not a matter of you imposing something or trying to say, this is who I am. It is, I'm fully vested in who you are, and I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear about your thoughts, your feelings, your experiences, because that is the whole you.
Mm-hmm.
How often is it true that as a counselor, in a certain sense, you kind of let somebody talk through and they find their own answers as you listen and you're like, well, you just told me. I mean, how often do you feel like you have to point somebody in another direction? Or how often is it like they're just like, they know the answer, but you're helping them find that they already know the answer? Is that true or not so true?
That's really the goal of counseling, right? Because you don't want to... create a goal or a vision or something for, mm-hmm. for anybody. That is their role to find. As a counselor, it's my role to help you discover that, right? And so maybe there are certain pointed questions that are going to lead to that. But really the goal is about a person finding and discovering and then being able to implement the vision they have for their life, what they want, where they want to go. The answer may be pretty straightforward. And I mean, we've all been there where we've had those conversations with people where you say something that might seem fairly, fairly straightforward in your mind. And to someone else, it's, you know what? I never have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it that way, or I never looked at it that way. I want to unpack that a little bit more.
I'm going to say that's one of the things I think about talk radio. Mm-hmm. Especially Catholic radio and the conversations we've had over the last 20 some years, that's why people love to listen to other people talking about their stories, their lives, because then they realize that they're normal. Like you said this morning, you walked in and you said, I'm tired. I'm like, I'm tired too. Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one who's tired.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Tired today. Right. It's like people always get, I'm glad I'm not the only one who's having this struggle, mm-hmm. because it, then suddenly it's kind of like a human thing. Oh,
right.
Oh, to struggle is human. Oh, to have this feeling is this experience. Mm-hmm. It's human. I'm not weird, or we're all weird, so then we're all normal, whatever. But it's just kind of that sense of, and I think that's, as a father, we were talking about that before, is that that sense of, a lot of times when we're talking with your children, it's really important to listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And very often I find out if I listen long enough, they'll tell me exactly what I was going to say. So periodically you'll have a conversation and it's like, well, you just keep telling me. And it's like, what do you think, Dad? I 100% agree with what you just said. Yeah. But you sometimes have to hear yourself say it.
Yep. Yeah.
To know that. And I think there's, again, mm-hmm. the gift of counseling, the gift of confession, the gift of, you know, right? They really, they have similarities.
Well, and to kind of build on that, when you talk, you're thinking out loud, mm-hmm. right? And so you're putting something in time and space. And confession, like you said, much the same way, mm-hmm. that you're actually able to put a label of time and space on it. You're able to articulate it. And it isn't just floating in the ether in your brain,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you have a point where it's like, okay, I know I'm forgiven because I heard the words of absolution after I told the priest my sins. If you're in counseling, it's, I've been able to take all the jumble in my head and articulated it.
Yep.
And a lot of times that's a huge step. You just say it and realize, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not dealing with this by myself. I'm not crazy. Yeah. I just need to flush something out.
You know, for some of us who are extroverts, like, that's how you process.
Oh, yeah.
Actually in conversation. External, like, process. Introverts are, mm-hmm. they, you know, they're great at mulling things over and that sort of thing. But like, I need to almost be in conversation with someone to think something mm-hmm. through, you know? And I think one of the things that's interesting and valuable about the role of a counselor or a spiritual director in certain cases is, like, sometimes people will come and they'll be like, just tell me what to do, right?
Right.
And if that's the mode of interaction, you're kind of acting more as an oracle
right.
than as an aid, mm-hmm. right? And the danger there, in my assessment, would be, like, then they're still incapable of dealing with life themselves.
Yep, 100%.
So talk a little bit about that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's very similar to the Christian understanding of prayer. God mm-hmm. isn't a genie, right? Mm-hmm. And so most of the time, especially when you're dealing with the soul, there isn't just a quick fix. Mm-hmm. How many people are out there saying, okay, you know, Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Would you actually do it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Would you enjoy doing it? Mm-hmm. I mean, if God snapped his fingers and said, this is the person you're going to marry, it becomes less an act of the will and more of just an act of obedience, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you take the will away, then, like you said, mm-hmm. you're not taking ownership for something. You're not fully vested in it. And then you can get bitter and resentful about that, right?
And it's also not really, I mean, I suppose it is, but to a lesser degree, a personal act. It's like a bit of an automaton. Mm-hmm. Like, you give me the orders and I function. And whereas, like, the dynamic you're talking about is one that is a melding of the human and the divine.
Right.
It winds up being less of a human act there if I just kind of do whatever I'm told to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a worker.
Right. And how often is it where you might have a surface level directive, but the deeper thing is, maybe I need to grow in responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I need to take on some ownership for who I am. Maybe that's a harder problem to solve, but it's not going to get solved if I'm just being told, okay, you need to do this, 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 and this, and maybe things will fall into place. And so you treat the whole person.
Mm. Yeah.
One of the words on the list down here to talk about is family dynamics, which makes me think about this whole thing. Again, we're fathers raising, we have adult children. We both have adult children, grandchildren now.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is something to learn there in that family dynamic of how to parent children at home, how to parent children away from home,
mm-hmm.
how to, in a certain sense, parent grandchildren, that there's that listening is so important, and that not always telling your children what to do,
mm-hmm.
how to do it. It's been challenging for me, I'll tell you. I'm a choleric, right, mm-hmm. driver type A mm-hmm. personality, and learning to kind of take, as the kids get older, to take a back seat, you know, because they always come and say, ask, you know, well, what's your opinion? Well, here's the challenge. As I tell my wife, if I tell them my opinion, because I'm their dad and I have a lot of authority, it's going to have a lot of weight. So I have to be careful how I share my opinion, mm-hmm. right? But I also don't want to be, if I say, you know, I have no thought on that, then, like, well, whatever, Dad, we know you better than that. So you can't not respond, right? So there's that balance of trying to figure out that family dynamic. How do I communicate in a way with my children that doesn't completely drive their lives, but also how do I communicate so that they know that I care enough, mm-hmm. right, to respond? Any, like, for listeners, for parents who are dealing with teenage children, children away from home, what do we do as parents to make sure that we're there for them, but we're not controlling?
Yeah, that's not really in a lot of the parent manuals, is it?
Right, yeah.
You know, I tend to look at things through a fairly biblical worldview type of lens. And, you know, it's very easy to look at the way the world works right now, the last 100 years especially. And we'll talk about this a little more when we get into attachment theory. Mm. But the idea of family systems is that there are generations working with each other, being with each other, and having those close connections. And because of the way the world works now, it's harder and harder to do that, mm-hmm. right? And so on the one hand, you have these dangerous trends where people are, you know, adult children are cutting off their parents. Mm-hmm. People are living more and more autonomously. But on the other hand, like you said, you don't want to come off as overbearing or like, okay, you know, this is the way we do it. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I would say is for parents listening, don't be afraid to just be truthful, right? Mm. That, okay, if you see something that is harmful, then articulate it. If something is fairly benign, well, say, yeah, here are your two options. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, your job as a parent, especially of an adult child, is to be supportive and be there for them. Mm-hmm. And you still want to be in their lives. And so I guess for me, it goes both ways with parents and children, that children need to be respectful of the mm-hmm. wisdom of their parents. The fourth commandment doesn't just disappear.
Right.
The scriptures tell us that he who honors his father and mother will have a long life. And so I firmly believe that, yes, parents do owe that guidance to a degree to their children. Mm. Children need to be receptive of that. And I would encourage parents to prayerfully discern how to not be overbearing about that, but to articulate the truth. Mm. Because when you don't articulate the truth, then you're going to have a whole slew of other problems.
Right. Yeah, it's just something with the kids, like the fourth commandment, when you're at home, you owe me obedience and respect. When you leave home, you just owe me respect. You don't have to obey me.
Right.
Sure. That's yeah. The obedience thing is gone, but mm-hmm. the respect still remains.
And, yes.
It's amazing. Our faith is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it, though?
And I'm sure that when you can bring in the Catholic faith into your counseling, it's so much more full mm-hmm. than when you're like, okay, I got to avoid this conversation. Because, again, the truth of our faith is just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come back and continue this conversation, talk a little bit more about attachment theory, as Andrew Meyer mentioned, on Real Presence Live. We'll be right back.
Live, engaging, and local, this is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope at seeing the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Heather Caro. Please take a moment to pray with me to Our Lady of the Prairie. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Lady of the Prairie, gentle mother and keeper of quiet places, look upon the fields of our hearts and pray for us. Ask your Son to till the soil of our souls, breaking up the hardness of doubt and fear, planting the seeds of faith, hope, and love, and watering them with his grace. When trials scorch like the sun and worries blow like the wind, be our shelter, our refuge, our guide. Help us to root ourselves deeply in Christ, that we may bear good fruit in kindness, mercy, and truth. Our Lady of the Prairie, pray for us, that our lives may become a rich harvest for the glory of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There will come a day when each of us will be asked to review the movie of our life and give an account to God. We will sorrowfully relive the bad times and joyfully revisit the good. Thankfully, no matter what you've done, there is hope. Since Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So if you've been away from church for a while, we invite you to come home and find the peace that only comes from God. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
This is Real Presence Live, our last 12 minutes of Real Presence Live this morning, continuing to converse, there we go, that's a word, with Andrew Meyer, Deacon Steve Splonskowski, along with
Brad Gray.
And we're going to move into a little bit of the conversation of attachment theory. Brad, you want to go ahead and kick that off?
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, so we had a little bit of conversation leading into the interview, and I was asking you, like, what are some of the things that you think are especially significant or valuable in terms of relationship dynamics, that sort of thing? And I know I've become a little bit familiar with the area of attachment theory, but I think that it is one that has so much promise in terms of helping to cultivate healthy relationships. And it's also to be distinguished from attachment parenting, which is another kind of expression of sort of this. But talk a little bit about what is attachment theory.
So attachment theory was developed when psychologists began looking at what relationships look like, A, between children and their parents, but B, then how those people relate in life. So how these children relate to other people in other parts of their lives. And they more or less came up with these four different, what they called styles of how we connect with other people. All right. And so a lot of that is based on emotional and, you know, chemical, you know, reactions to people. You know, as we get deeper and deeper into neuroscience, you know, we're dealing with chemicals like cortisol, dopamine, all those things. And what they found is that certain people are going to have certain chemical reactions to interactions with other people. And so more or less, these attachment styles are secure, which is when a person has what you'd call just normal normal emotional and chemical reactions to people. They're able to bond well, and they're able to form good constructive relationships. And then you have these two styles that are called avoidant attachment and anxious attachment. And these two styles, in a lot of ways, are the two main insecure attachments, that there's a person can't bond to another person the way that a person normally would. So an anxious attached person is going to be that person that's always like thinking there's something wrong, thinking there's a problem. And
they're hyper tuned into any sort of conflict or tension, and
right.
They want to make sure that they can make that go away. Right.
Right. And it's not like, you know, there's a healthy level of that saying, if there's a problem, we should deal with it. Right. This is a person that's hyper-focused. I really think like an extreme people pleaser, right? And then you've got the avoidant, which is the complete opposite of that, right? Where someone is just like, I am, and again, there's a healthy level of some of these things like internal processing, but it's just the avoider, I'm just not going to deal with this, but then it's going to come out in other ways. So people pleaser for the anxious, think super passive aggressive for the avoidant, right? And then there's this one kind of in the middle. It's called like anxious avoidant combination, where you get a little bit of both. And so what those do is they'll affect the way you connect with your spouse, your children, and can really, I mean, in some ways it can be a predictor of your success in life and your level of happiness in life. Now, the other part is that your attachment style isn't fixed. All right. Up to about the age of 25, you've got a higher level of what's called neuroplasticity, where you can learn different habits much more easily. But at the same time, even once you're past 25, you can still change your attachment style. It might not feel good, like your emotional alarms might be going off when you're trying to learn how to be securely attached, because maybe if you're anxiously attached, realizing I need to not care about carrying other people's emotions, mm-hmm. it's going to freak you out for a while, right? Mm-hmm. Because that has become your little god, even, mm-hmm. so to speak. If you're avoidant, maybe it's saying, you know what, I need to have this conversation that isn't easy, instead of just avoiding it, or then later on having a little passive aggressive comment, right? And so there are ways to become more securely attached. And so for listeners out there, if you're feeling like, okay, like I feel like a people pleaser, or I feel like I'm passive aggressive, for one, you're in the Midwest, and that's just kind of the MO a lot of the time. you know, right. The area of the world we live in doesn't exactly help that, because there's generations of that. But furthermore, there are steps you can take, and they're not difficult steps, mm-hmm. to actually working through and resolving attachment.
But it can be helpful just understanding these things about ourselves or people mm-hmm. close to mm-hmm. us, because it can help us to understand why I'm doing the things I'm doing, right?
Right.
So think of like an anxious avoidant person, mm-hmm. could be someone that they really want to be around people, but or have a relationship with people, but once it starts to get too serious, they kind of find themselves pushing them away, mm-hmm. right? Like all of a sudden there's danger. So what gives rise to some of these different styles of you know, insecure attachments?
Parenting, family dynamics, that's a good start. Mm-hmm. When you've got a child, when you look at developmental theories, a child has to bond with their parent, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a healthy way that a child bonds with their parent. Sometimes if there's disruptions in that bonding, whether through the parent's fault or not, there can be a difficult ability. It can be difficult for a child to move through some of those developmental stages, mm-hmm. like trust versus mistrust. And so when you have things like that, where there's like a delay in learning a certain developmental threshold, that can give rise to attachment issues, or perhaps just a child going to college, them going to high school. Those sorts of things can trigger it too, because you know all of a sudden you're in a new environment. There's now you're dealing with peers. You're not dealing with the guidance of your parents. And so it isn't necessarily strictly, you know, how a parent raises their child. It is it's a big factor. And so, for parents listening, I would encourage you, like, you know, making sure that bond with your child is there, that you're a secure place for them to come. But an attachment style can change in an individual based on where they're at. In life, really.
Well, it sounds like we're probably going to need to have you back on to unpack this a bit more. This is maybe an appetizer to whet the appetite on attachment theory. And just so we can understand, like, how do we move forward into this, right? But I think right now, we probably have to toss it on the other side of the glass to Sebastian, because he's got stuff to say.
Go ahead, Sebastian.
Thank you, guys. On the next Real Presence Live, your host will be Tim Mosier, coming to you live from right back here in the Fargo studio. His guests will include Maria Ruiz Caperlanda, who will talk about the Stanley Rother story, an upcoming documentary on the American martyr. And then Tim will be joined by Fargo's Bishop John Fulda. Tune in to hear all this and more on Tuesday, August 11th from 9 to 11 a.m. Central, right here on Real Presence Live. Back to you.
Thank you, Sebastian. And we still have, again, Andrew Meyer in studio. Yeah. So I want to circle back before we get 2 minutes, I think, left here. Because you started out with the best thing to always do is to be honest. Right. And the things you're talking about there, the whole thing is like, if you're avoiding conflict, mm-hmm. or if you're trying to be too controlling, it's about like good communication. And actually, that's one of the words on here. It's so key in mm-hmm. all these situations. Mm-hmm. Honest, open communication.
And probably needing to work against my natural tendencies in many cases, right?
Sure.
Because there's things that compel me in a certain direction that are just not helpful.
Right.
Right. And so learning techniques or ways of like, I don't know if I'd say regulating, but just being aware of what's going on and what the right way forward is versus kind of my natural inclination. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also recognizing that we communicate in so many ways.
Right.
Right.
Verbally, right? But also then with our physical posture. Yep. And it's like, or the, you said something in a snarky way or whatnot. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I got to communicate everything well. Yeah. Challenging. Yeah. So, but yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to have you back on, Andrew, to kind of unpack this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, folks, again, thanks for joining us on Real Presence Live. Brad, always a joy to host with you.
Thank you for stepping in. My regular co-host, Brandon Clark, was away on a work trip, and so I was grateful that you were willing to step in.
Happy to help when I can.
It's awesome. So,
yeah. Always good to be back here at the Real Presence Live. I've been many, many years here as exec and working with the staff. So thank you to all the work that you do. Sebastian, thank you for making the show work here with us today. All the staff at Real Presence Radio, for Lynn Devitt, for the work that she does as the exec here. Thank you for the work that you do. Donors, thank you for making this possible. You're the ones that make Real Presence Radio work. You did from the beginning, and you still do. So continue to support this work of evangelization. And we're going to head out to EWTN program. We thank them for the filling out the programming for the rest of the day. EWTN provides programming here for Real Presence Live.
Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Real Presence Live brings you local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest, highlighting inspirational stories and catechesis in the Catholic faith. Tune in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings from 9 to 11 Central. Or listen to the podcast anytime on our Daily Show podcast page at realpresenceradio.com and on the RPR app. Real Presence Live. Local. Engaging. Live. On the RPR Network.